So when these first two apparitions of Our Lady at the Rue du Bac in Paris and at Père Voisin, we see Our Lady as the mediatrix of all grace, the Immaculate, our tainted nature's solitary boast, she through whom we can approach Jesus easily and full of confidence. And when Our Lady left Estelle in the lay state to publish her glory, she affirmed that we can be saints in every state of life. And also we can be apostles, evangelists. We can be the ones to bring about the triumph of her Immaculate Heart and of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, regardless of our state in life. Indeed, with Estelle, she chose a lay person and had her remain in the lay state. And when she said, "Publish my glory," she did this, of course, for our sake. She wants us to know her power. Her divine Son refuses her nothing. And he said that he would soften the hardest hearts if we turn to her. In 1840, also contemporary with St. Catherine Laboureil, Our Lady appeared to another sister of charity in the town of Blangy in France and revealed a green badge on which was the image of her Immaculate Heart, her heart surrounded by flames. Pierced with a sword, surmounted by a cross, and around it the inscription, "Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death." And this badge of the Immaculate Heart, also sometimes called a scapular, has been particularly powerful in bringing about the conversion of sinners, healing families that were on the verge of disruption. When used with confidence, it's an extremely powerful gift from Our Lady. It depends more on the faith and the love of the person who gives it, it seems, than on the faith of those who take it. You can even sew it into a person's garment, a person you wish to convert. And it's like an extension of the power of the scapular devotion beyond oneself to another person. So again, we have a stress on the Immaculate Heart of Mary. On the miraculous medal, Our Lady had her heart revealed alongside the Sacred Heart, the two hearts. At Blangy, the badge just of her Immaculate Heart, and as she said, specifically in this case, for the conversion of sinners. And at Père Voisin, the Sacred Heart and her Immaculate Heart appearing on the scapular as the one heart. And Our Lady indicated that through this devotion, this wordless devotion, we could enter into the mystery of the union with the heart of Jesus through her Immaculate Heart, a devotion which St. Grignion de Montfort describes as true devotion to Our Lady. Less than 2 weeks after the appearance in Blangy with the green scapular of her Immaculate Heart, Our Lady appeared on top of the mountain of La Salette to two shepherd children. She appeared crowned as a queen, but wearing as a decoration the instruments of the passion of her Son. And she was bent over, her head in her hands, weeping. The children were terrified, because La Salette is a high mountain in the Alps, about 5,000 feet up, totally isolated, and the sudden appearance of this lady dressed in a regal manner terrified the children. They knew it was something extraordinary. But then Our Lady spoke.
"Come near, my children. Do not be afraid. I am here to tell you important news."
Tears fell from her eyes as she spoke.
"If my people will not submit, I shall be forced to let go the hand of my son. It is so strong, so heavy, that I can no longer withhold it. How long a time do I suffer for you? If I would not have my son abandon you, I am compelled to pray to him without ceasing. And as to you, you take no heed of it. However much you pray, however much you do, you will never recompense the pains I have taken for you.
Then Our Lady explained to them that many of the calamities befalling the world are the result of sin. Although war was far removed from them, she spoke of things that were happening just in their own area, which showed that sin brings its own punishment. She said,
"If you have wheat, it is no good to sow it. All that you sow, the insects will eat. What comes up will fall into dust when you thrash it. There will come a great famine. Before the famine comes, the children under 7 years of age will be seized with trembling and will die in the hands of those who hold them, and others will do penance by the famine. The walnuts will become worm-eaten. The grapes will rot."
Our Lady made clear that it was only if they persisted in their sins, and she mentioned specifically the working on Sunday, the failure to obey God's laws, and the calamities foretold by Our Lady, of course, took place. The potato famine had already begun shortly before she came, and in 1846 this famine became so severe in many parts of Europe that was the time of the great emigrations to America. It was so severe in Ireland that Queen Victoria had to appeal to Parliament for special funds. The wheat shortage was so severe in Europe that more than 1 million people died. A grape disease decimated the vineyards all over France. Babies died trembling in their mother's arms. But Our Lady told the children that if people would listen to her message, things would change. She said,
"If they are converted, the stones in the rocks will be changed into heaps of wheat, and potatoes will be self-sown."
Our Lady complained again the final time that so few people attend Mass on Sunday. The tears of Our Lady were ignored, even though La Salette was very quickly approved by the church and became a place of pilgrimage. I've been there about 20 times and under many circumstances, and I remember one particular occasion coming out of the basilica. There was a fog, a mist. The whole top of the mountain was in a great cloud, and in that mist I saw the statue of Our Lady seated there with her head in her hands as she had appeared to the children. And as I approached, the water had condensed on the crown of Our Lady and was dripping across her face, the weeping Madonna, the Madonna weeping over the world. The Church responded in 1854, 8 years after La Salette, by proclaiming the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. And only 4 years after that, Pius IX, who had proclaimed the dogma, was consoled by the apparition of Our Lady in Lourdes, where she said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." There were 19 apparitions beginning on February the 11th of 1858, and in that first apparition, Our Lady did not speak, but Bernadette took her rosary and began to pray it as she looked at the apparition. And then Our Lady took the rosary that was on her arm, and she moved from one bead to the other as Bernadette prayed. And when Bernadette came to the end of the decade, Our Lady joined with her in saying, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit." The same thing happened in the second apparition. And then, during the third apparition, Our Lady spoke,
Will you do me the kindness of coming here every day for 2 weeks? I do not promise to make you happy in this world, but in the next.
And then, in the sixth visit, Our Lady spoke again.
Pray for sinners.
She had looked sad as she said these words, but then she smiled. At La Salette, Our Lady had wept the entire time. At Lourdes, she looked sad part of the time, but frequently smiled, as though the simple devotion of St. Bernadette, who wore the scapular and prayed the rosary, brought joy to her immaculate heart. And also, a great event had taken place in the church. The church had defined that she was conceived immaculate. During the eighth apparition, the crowd saw Bernadette move on her knees to a rose bush, prostrating herself at each step. And then turning to the people, she repeated the words Our Lady said to her.
Penitence, penitence.
Our Lady revealed a spring of water during the ninth apparition, through which hundreds, perhaps thousands, of miracles have taken place. And then on the 26th of February, Our Lady said,
bend low and kiss the ground for the sake of sinners.
Next, Our Lady asked for a chapel to be built there, and it's become one of the major places of pilgrimage to Our Lady in the world. On March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation, came the greatest of the revelations of Lourdes. Bernadette said, the Lady was standing above the rosebush in a position very similar to that shown on the miraculous medal. Now, these are Bernadette's very words. At my third request, her face became very serious. Bernadette had asked her who she was. And she seemed to bow down in an attitude of humility. Then she joined her hands, raised them to her breast, looked up to heaven. Then slowly opening her hands and leaning toward me, she said to me in a voice vibrating with emotion,
I am the Immaculate Conception.
We must ponder on the meaning of the Immaculate. We are all conceived in sin, but we can unite our hearts to that heart that was given to us on Calvary to be the heart of our Mother, an Immaculate Heart. And clothed in that Immaculate Heart, we can approach God with confidence. This is the essence, the center of the message of Our Lady to today's world. And two of the most effective instruments for uniting our hearts to the heart of Mary are the rosary and the scapular. The last apparition of Our Lady after a long absence took place at Lourdes on the feast of Our Lady of the Scapular, July 16th, and Our Lady appeared to Bernadette in such glory that it remained her most vivid memory until the day she died. She said, Our Lady was more beautiful than ever, the glorious Mother. We remark that in these various apparitions, Our Lady more than once referred to France and how France had not responded to her many visits, her many requests. And the worst of all the disasters to befall France up to that time came in 1870 in the Franco-Prussian War. On September the 18th of that year, Paris was surrounded and the bombardment began. Parisians were starving, desperate, and deadly fear of momentarily being blown to bits, and people in other parts of France lived in terror. And then on the evening of January 17th, 1871, Our Lady appeared at Pont-Main, and the Prussian armies were just a short distance away at the center of the area at Laval. This apparition was very different from all the other apparitions of today. It was an apparition similar to an icon, a living icon, which changed and through the series of pictures told an important message. First, two boys who'd been working in a barn saw the vision, and their father, who did not see it, did not believe them, and he insisted that they go to supper, and after supper they wanted to go out and see if the lady was still there. She was. And little by little, virtually the whole village gathered, including the parish priest. And all of the children in the group, none of the adults, but all of the children saw Our Lady, and little by little they described her. And with the enthusiasm of the children and the exactness of the description by the various children caused the adults to know that they were definitely seeing Our Lady. About 80 people were there. But mysteriously, the adults saw three stars take a special position in the sky. They had never seen them before, and they've never been seen there since. And the children said that one star was above Our Lady's head, and the other two stars were at her side, to the right and the left. Emotion filled the hearts of all who were present. Many shed tears as they heard the children describing what they saw. A small red cross was formed over Our Lady's heart. And there seemed to be a frame or a circle around Our Lady. She was dressed in a blue robe, and the circle was of a darker blue against the sky. And attached to this frame or circle, there were sockets which held unlighted candles. One man said that if he had a telescope, he was sure he could see what the children were seeing. And someone brought a telescope, but he still couldn't see anything. And the children announced that Our Lady, who had been smiling, suddenly looked sad. And the pastor said, "Let us pray." And a sister in the group led the recitation of the rosary. And suddenly, the vision began to grow larger. One of the children cried out, "She's twice as tall as Sister Vitaline now." And as Our Lady increased in size in the sky, with each Hail Mary of the Rosary, the blue circle extended in proportion, and the stars of the sky seemed to move aside to allow room for Our Lady. And then they ranged themselves beneath her feet outside the frame. There were about 40 of these stars. And then stars seemed to appear in Our Lady's robe, and one of the children exclaimed, "Oh, there are so many stars, the Blessed Virgin will soon be gilt all over." And during the recitation of the rosary, Our Lady smiled. Sometimes the children could see her teeth, brilliantly white. And then a white band unrolled itself beneath Our Lady's feet, and one by one letters appeared. And the children read each word aloud as it appeared. The words were, "But pray, my children." And then, "My son permits himself to be touched." Next, a red crucifix appeared near Our Lady, and she took it in her hands and held it out towards the children. On the top of the cross appeared the words, "Jesus Christ," in red letters on a white band. And a star shot up from beneath Our Lady's feet, lighted the candle at the lower left, then the top one, then it passed over her head and lit the two candles at the right. It rose again, passed around the blue circle, and came to stop over Our Lady's head. and as the crowd sang another hymn, the crucifix disappeared, and Our Lady assumed the attitude seen on the miraculous medal, her hands extended with rays of grace flowing upon the world. And at this, on each of the shoulders was seen a small white cross about 8 inches high. When the hymn was finished, the pastor said, "Now let us recite our evening prayers." And as they did, little by little, a white veil rose from beneath Mary's feet, and little by little, the vision was hidden from view. And Our Lady of Beaumains became known as Our Lady of Hope, because on the day that she appeared, the hostilities of the Franco-Prussian War ceased. 10 days. Only 10 days after the apparition, the armistice was signed. And there followed 40 years of peace. The 40 stars at Our Lady's feet. Now, what is the significance of those 4 candles? And what is the significance of the red cross, the crucifix, the 2 white crosses? Well, one of the good things about an icon is that we can derive various meanings. One of the bad things is that we don't know precisely what the icon means unless God would reveal it to us. But it's deliberately meant to be a source of meditation and of many thoughts. St. Simeon said of Our Lady, "And your heart will be pierced with a sword, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed." There were to be 40 years of peace until the First World War and the coming of Our Lady at Fatima. And there were 4 requests of Our Lady at Fatima. 4 things she asked of the world: to put an end to wars, to bring about an era of peace for mankind. Those were her very words. An era of peace for mankind. It is generally thought that the white crosses on the shoulders of Our Lady symbolized the Eastern and the Western churches because of the way Our Lady was standing, and that the red cross she held forth with the name Jesus Christ on top symbolizes that she comes to bring all to Jesus, to bring all to her place at the foot of the cross, and in him, unity of the church. And this was a promise of Fatima. Russia will be converted, and an era of peace will be granted to mankind. So we see in Beaumains a confirmation of the power of Mary. That while she comes with so many warnings, so many tears, telling the terrible chastisements that we bring upon ourselves by our sins, she also shows that by her power, it doesn't have to be this way. Sin can be banished from the world. Perhaps as you've listened to these apparitions and the words of Our Lady, you may be surprised that you haven't heard more about some of them, especially about Beaumains. Canon Laurentin wrote 4 big volumes about Beaumains. I myself was very privileged to translate into English the original book on Beaumains, which was written by a Father Richard, who went to Beaumains the day after the vision and interrogated the children. And this is the classical book, the original work about Beaumains. And it was surprising that it had never been translated into English until the centenary of Beaumains. And I had the privilege of being asked by the rector of Beaumains to translate it. That book can be obtained by writing to the Blue Army in Washington, New Jersey. Now we come to the most important apparition of today, the apparition of Fatima. The importance of Fatima is underlined by the miracle. The first time in the history of the world that a miracle was performed at a predicted time and place so that all might believe. The very words of Our Lady, "so that all may believe." And it was a stupendous miracle. It incorporated essentially the miracles of the drying up of the Red Sea, the stopping of the sun at the command of Joshua, and the great miracle of the fire coming from the sky at the command of Elias. Now we are primarily interested in the words of Our Lady. She appeared on May 13, 1917 at noon, above a small oak tree about 6 feet high, and her first words,
"Do not be afraid. I will not harm you."
I had the privilege of interviewing Lucia, and I asked her if Our Lady looked like a real person or whether she was just sort of diaphanous and in light, and she said, "Oh no, she looked like a real person. We wondered where she came from, and that's why we asked. Where did you come from, madam?" And Our Lady's next words,
"I am from heaven."
Next came the crucial question, the question Our Lady at Fatima asks of each of us.
"Do you wish to offer yourselves to God, to endure all the suffering that He may choose to send you, as an act of reparation for the sins by which He is offended, and to ask for the conversion of sinners?"
The children had already been prepared by apparitions of angels, and they readily answered yes. And then Our Lady said,
"Then you will have much to suffer, but the grace of God will assist you and always bear you up."
And now Our Lady changed her stance. She had appeared with her hands folded, as we usually see statues of Our Lady of Fatima. She opened her hands, and they saw an immaculate heart, and rays of light streamed from the heart upon the children, causing them to feel lost in God, and together they exclaimed, "Most Holy Trinity, I adore you. My God, I love you, in the Most Blessed Sacrament." Here we have the great message of Our Lady today, that in the light of her Immaculate Heart we will recognize Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And then Our Lady said,
"Say the rosary every day to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war."
The children wanted to go to heaven with her because she was so beautiful, and they felt such a joy in her presence. And they asked if they could be taken to heaven, and Our Lady said,
"I will take Jacinta and Francisco soon, but you must remain here longer. Jesus will use you to make me better known and more loved. He wishes to establish throughout the world the devotion to my Immaculate Heart. I promise salvation to those who embrace it, and their souls will be loved by God as flowers placed by myself to adorn His throne."
And Lucia felt a great sadness to think that Francis and Jacinta would be taken to heaven, but she would have to stay behind. And reading her thoughts, Our Lady said,
"No, my child, you are suffering very much, but do not be discouraged. I will never leave you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God."
So similar to the consolation given to Estelle Fagette and to Saint Bernadette. Lucia said that they understood that the Immaculate Heart of Mary was being shown to them, so offended by the sins of mankind and desiring reparation. In the apparition in July, Our Lady told the children that God had entrusted the peace of the world to her, and that only she could save it. Then she said,
"Continue to come here every month. In October, I will tell you who I am and what I desire, and I shall perform a miracle so that everyone will have to believe you. Sacrifice yourself for sinners. Say many times, especially when you make any sacrifices, 'O Jesus, it is for your love, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary.'"
Next, the ground seemed to open up in front of Our Lady, and the children were horrified to see thousands of souls plunged into hell, black and burning demons and souls in human forms resembling live transparent coals lifted up into the air by the flames and falling back like sparks, neither weight nor balance. Loud screams and cries of pain and despair. These are the very words of Lucia. Horrified us and shook us with terror. We could tell the devils by their horrible, nauseous figures of baleful and unknown animals. Pale with terror, the children raised their eyes to Our Lady for help, and she said,
"You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, our Lord wishes to establish throughout the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If people will do what I tell you, many souls will be saved, and there will be peace in the world."